T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Sports fans, we need to have a talk. I one time broke a phone by throwing the old Nokia phone at the wall. It was a pick six in a Syracuse football game. I'm not proud of it.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
So I am genuinely interested in the dumbest thing that you've done in the name of sports fandom.
Are you stupid or something?
Yesterday, I saw a Saints fan throw a 65-inch television off of a balcony.
Oh, come on, Dad. Anything but that.
And then there's this Steelers fan.
You're going to find me dead! Don't ask me to do nothing! This is nothing!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Texters are coming in. After Illinois lost in the national championship in 05, I punched a hole in the toilet lid right into a full toilet.
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins.
How about that local sports team?
Middays on the Score.
I didn't punch anything after the Bulls beat the Heat yesterday afternoon. I'm evolved. Good morning, Speaks.
You don't have frustration on the mounting tank losses as they careen towards wasting the opportunity in a lottery that's filled with excellence?
Oh, there's frustration.
Nah.
Just not punch a toilet frustration.
I think you're one of those guys who's willing to accept somewhere between pick number 8 and 15. Yeah, I said 15 because they might make the playoffs.
Ugh. I don't want that. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I do not want any part of the NBA playoffs this year.
If they can't get a first-round pick for Nico, they're going to hold on. And what if they throw in Justin Holiday, too? If you can't get a first-round pick for those two guys, going to keep everybody? Keep on winning?
I don't know.
Winning games?
I don't know. They're winning at an incredible rate right now. It is absolutely absurd. We've got the three technique at 10 o'clock, Michael Lombardi at 11, and a lot of time to hang out with you guys. Welcome back, Jay and Speegs.
Thanks. Thanks much.
How's it going?
I guess we have enough tenure to take the holiday off.
Yeah.
Thanks for holding down the fort as you and Campy did.
I just looked at it like, Monday after a bunch of playoff football games. That was an easy day to work.
I had thoughts. I had thoughts all day.
Yeah, I figured.
I had thoughts on all the football games. I had nobody who wanted to listen to me. Hanging out with the Roobster because there was no school, so I didn't make that same mistake. You know?
Yeah, sure.
So I took the day off.
Good for you.
I didn't bring him here.
Force him to school.
Yeah, right. Or bring him by school and say, wait a minute, there's nobody here. This is odd.
But Daddy, they've honored Martin Luther King with a day because he's a civil rights hero, American hero.
Thanks. You're going to school.
Thanks for reminding me, son. Last time I did that, I brought him here and we got a chance to record 4 pickup players.
That's right.
If that didn't happen, there would be no Ruben pickup player.
Because you would have never been able to do it at home.
No.
It would have been impossible.
You know, he might not have responded to me like he responded to you. He stepped up in the face of a stranger.
You wanted to impress the stranger?
I think so.
Forget stranger danger.
Yeah,
he's
no.
Trying to impress him.
Stranger thriving. That's what my kid does. But yeah, no. I had thoughts all day yesterday.
I bet.
I don't care how much of the playoff football games you've talked about. I'm going to bring up stuff that you might have already discussed. I don't care.
I talked about all of the playoff football games.
Yeah, you probably talked about a lot.
It's okay.
All thoughts. I mean, I
don't think I had every thought.
That one play.
Just the best ones.
Just really, of course. even just the one play, that deserves 2 days of basking. 2 days of sports radio breakdown. It's going to get a lifetime of radio breakdown, of people writing. There will be poems, sonnets written about that play if there have not already.
Oh, I said that yesterday. I'm just kidding. No, of course. It was amazing. It was one of those things where you just had like unbridled, natural sports joy if you had no rooting interest in that game whatsoever.
And you had to explain point spreads to people if they were in the room and didn't understand just how odd those 10 minutes after the game were, like to see Cameron Jordan putting on his helmet begrudgingly to come out and be on an extra point play. I see a punter with a broken rib lining up a defensive tackle.
Yeah, Thomas Morstead's like, fine, I'll go out there.
I bet that's not the F word that got thrown around. There's another one.
Yeah, probably not.
But, man, yeah, that was just absolute chaos and just so much fun.
Oh, the games were amazing, and it, you know, football, when it's great. Right? When there's a big football game, it captures hearts and minds. Like the ratings were huge, over 40 million people.
Yeah, 46 I saw, right? And 30-some for the college football title game.
Yeah, so it's just, it's massive. And they'll be bigger this week, and then they'll be even bigger in 2 weeks. And, you know, people will say, wow, if we get Eagles-Jaguars in the Super Bowl, NBC executives will really be hurting. Yeah, I mean, over 100 million people will still watch. Like, it'll be a little bit lower than they would have wanted to, but they've already sold their commercials. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? This is what we do. In America, we watch football this time of year.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff that happened over the weekend in those games and, like, stats that came out of them that I just can't get out of my head. So maybe they'd be crack slippers here on a Tuesday, but I wasn't here yesterday, so there weren't even – we didn't even create the cracks that they could have slipped through.
I assume you just spent your entire day off listening to the show, and all of your NFL thoughts will just be ones that fit seamlessly in the ones that I did not have?
You and Campy sounded great, having a little back and forth between 12:31 and 12:35. That's the part that I caught.
Nice. Yeah, we were good then.
Yeah, you guys were really good.
We were smooth then,
On point as you tried to stretch your angles through that last hour of the show.
Hey, you don't know what I was doing.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, don't tell them my secrets. I've got Mitch fooled that I can do this solo.
You do. Did you guys break down some of the massive stories to come out of the Cubs convention? And by that, I mean Tom Ricketts restating his thoughts on Sammy Sosa.
Loved the Sammy Sosa discussion that we had yesterday.
And all the executives talking about why the market is so frozen and that kind of thing. I mean, that's pretty much it that came out of there.
Oh, we had the nice moment, though, of Wilson Contreras saying that he told John Lester to throw the mother bleeping ball over to the mother bleeping base.
Or he called him an MF-er, right?
Yeah.
I think he called him an MF-er.
Mother bleeper, throw the mother bleeping ball.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We know that Contreras is that guy. It's good that he can say it to Lester.
Well, because he told us at the luncheon that he'll joke with Hendricks because he's so serious. He won't really say anything to Lackey because he's afraid of him, and he calls Lester sir. You know what I mean? So, like, the idea that he was able to break through in that moment and get him to do it, it's pretty nice.
Just awesome. And I know in Three Technique, we'll touch on a little bit of baseball in Three Technique, is the Giants are where, like, faces of the franchise go to play out the rest of their careers. Mm-hmm. Now, that McCutchen thing, I can't imagine what it's like to be a Pirates fan and be staring another decade of suck in the face after, what, 6 years of relevance?
Yeah.
7 years, something like that, as you built towards something, you got excited, now you have it, and now they're just stripping away your pieces.
They made the wild card game, what, twice?
Lost them both.
Lost to Arrieta once, and they just weren't able to actually give themselves a ton of, home field playoff moments, but their fans got a couple of home playoff games out of it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Got a nice ballpark, got a couple of moments. See you, everybody.
Yeah, and the moments were losses is the thing. So that's a very unsatisfying rebuild.
That's a terrible window.
Yeah.
Think about that. They targeted their little window. They had their window, and now they're not done technically, but it looks pretty sketchy.
And I hadn't thought about this, but it's the dangers of doing it that way, right? I mean, like, the Cubs is best case scenario for the rebuild. Royals is pretty good. Astros is great.
Well, the Cubs is an unrealistic comp because they were going to have the money. They right. also, just like the Red Sox, they timed it out that they would add to the revenue and have the money. But the Royals one is a great comp. The Royals made the most of their window.
Right.
And the Pirates tried to make the most of their window, but there it was, and now it's gone.
Well, I'm thinking about how White Sox fans view it.
Correct.
Right.
At a certain point when the White Sox have to spend, will they spend and will they keep spending? That's, you know, frankly, that's going to be the next ownership's conversation to deal with.
Or the inherited ownership's conversation.
Depending on how that's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but it is interesting to look at and say, okay, other teams have rebuilt
you
and
bet.
Tanked and tried to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could only spend to keep one or two of the guys. And then
they got to start making terribly hard decisions.
Right. And you have no leverage when you make those decisions because people know you're not trying to win, so you don't get equal value for a guy like Andrew McCutchen.
Woof.
Yeah, not great.
So, yeah, well, that'll be, you said, Three Technique, Lombardi. We doing anything else? I don't think so. Just you and me. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, I'm going to badger Jay with some Corey Crawford questions at some point during the show so we can treat him like a guest at some point because he is our resident Hawks insider, and I'm sure he's very much looking forward to that, aren't you, Jay?
I got it all weekend on Twitter, so bring it on.
Nice. Excellent. So I got a long list of Corey Crawford questions.
Well, I think the list of stuff that we've learned over the past couple of days is nothing, right? We continue to learn nothing.
Oh, I'm going to try to get to the bottom of nothing. With Jay Zawoski. You don't think I can do it. I can do it.
I think you can do it. Yeah. By the way, I brought in some salted caramels, some chocolate, dark chocolate salted caramels from the Sanders people. They are freaking delicious. A giant container was given to Christine on the occasion of her birthday. She said, get these out of my house. So I brought them to you.
All right. Appreciate that. I have an epic I'm fat moment to share for my daughter, of all people, that happened this weekend. I can do it now or we can wait. Some TSL. What do you guys want to do?
Why are both of you bearing the leads?
Yeah, sorry. We should have led with this campy. I apologize. You look hungry. Go to the vending machine. Diaz, can you get campy something, please?
No, just grab the caramels off my desk and pour them on top of Rick Camp. Just, you know,
blood sugar's getting low. He's getting angry.
Melt them all down and paint them onto Campy's face.
He's been working hard on the anniversary show for tomorrow. He needs some fuel.
Just needs to lick his own cheek when he's looking for a little sustenance.
Go ahead, Jay. What's the fat story?
All right, well, this season my dad's been coming over to watch football with us on Sundays, and he brings lunch. This week he brought KFC because he just had a hankering. I hadn't had it in a long time. So my dad and my daughter and me are sitting around the table eating chicken, and Addie goes, can you pass the butter? I said, sure. Takes a knife, puts butter on her knife, and she spreads it on her chicken. I said, Addie, there's no reason to butter your fried chicken. And she said,
wait, what do you mean?
It's fried chicken. It's not even like roasted chicken that's a little dry or anything like
How
that.
How proud were you?
I was actually somewhat horrified.
What have you learned from me?
I looked into her future and I saw me with a ponytail, and it made me sad.
No. She's a very healthy young lady. She doesn't seem to have any sort of weight struggles.
No,
at this
not
point.
At all. Not yet. I did not either, though, until I think like fourth or fifth grade.
How old is she?
Eight.
She's seven.
Seven,
oh
yeah.
My God!
Yeah, she's gonna start buttering her fried chicken. Maybe a concern down the road.
That's
so
true.
What's the next step after buttering fried chicken?
I don't know if there's anything worse than that. Maybe like putting caramel on it or something.
Say frosting.
Like that.
Frosting. Can you please pass the frosting?
Can you frost
there's no frosting on the table. Can you please go get me the frosting?
Give me the family frosting tub.
Everything requires Crisco.
Oh, that's.
It was literally just a little, like just a little dab of it because I made her stop. Like, please don't do that.
Well, so yeah, I'm obviously not a parent. How does it work? Like you don't want to embarrass her and like food shame her. So like, how do you got to do that gently? I imagine.
I just kind of laughed about it.
Okay,
I said you don't need to do that. It's plenty. You know, it definitely tastes fine. You don't need to add any butter to it. I think she didn't know what the butter was for. She didn't realize there were biscuits on the table.
Got it.
Just sort of looked at it and was like, I guess I need to do this.
People put butter on stuff all the time.
Is butter a carb?
I like how butter tastes. It's a sensible thought on some level.
Yeah. I just had a moment of, oh no, please don't, not you too.
No, not you. Not you as well. It's your job to stop that cycle, Jay. It's your, it is.
I think I did. I think I put a stop to it. Well, she did not spread any more butter on her chicken. Thankfully.
I don't mean just that. I just mean like in general, the whole shame spiral, the whole fat shame spiral that we have discussed every once in a while got to the bottom of. You got to stop that within her.
We don't motivate or shame her with food ever.
Good.
But it's we never use it as a motivator, right?
Like, as a reward.
If you do this, we'll give you some candy.
Right.
Or
you're
like
a good boy or a good girl if you get this.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Danger. That said, buttering the fried chicken. Buttering the fried chicken sounds A, interesting, and B, like a tremendous euphemism. What are you doing later on? Just going to go home and butter the fried chicken, if you guys don't mind.
Again, she's seven. So be careful with your euphemism.
Can we have some separation with your euphemisms in the story about my daughter, please?
Yep,
thank you.
We sure can.
That awkward transition brought to you by Burlington. Hurry into your Burlington store and save on the hottest workout gear like tops and bottoms with mesh and lace-up details, plus sneakers, wireless headphones, too. Burlington. style for everyone.
I got a bunch of stuff that won't leave my head about the football games over the weekend. So a couple of questions about how it relates to our own little Mitchell Trubisky, and some other stuff to get to along the way as well. And you have to talk me out of my Bulls frustration if you think that you can intellectually do so.
I will try to intellectually do so. It's Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's a long line drive on the near side, leaping to a catch made. It's made by, oh my goodness.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. We graded him yesterday, third out of three on the excited calls of the Stephon Diggs play. Paul Allen nailed it.
Even though Pete Bursich, our guy, stepped all over him.
Stepped all over him, but Paul Allen powered through, and he was the local call, and he even the part that he stepped on, he paid it back at the end. It was great. Then
I thought Joe Buck was very solid and understated and doing what he does.
I thought he was really good. I thought that was a great call by Buck. Buck came in second, and Harlan, good call, but caught by oh my goodness is probably one he'd like back.
Teammate of He Hate Me in the XFL days.
Exactly right.
Maybe to a catch made. It's made by, oh my goodness.
Maybe he's an XLFL guy. Oh my goodness.
Possibly.
That could fit all the way across the jersey.
I get that.
In the XLFL.
Yeah, a good old number 295.
Listening today, as I did, to the natural sound of the stadium just exploding into basically a jet airliner sound. And then watching yesterday, as I did, the all 22 angle, did you watch the all 22 angle at all of this thing? Poor Marcus Williams, who obviously will be remembered forever as the safety who makes a terrible decision. You know, everything that's going on in his head. He wants to try and tackle him, but he doesn't want to get the pass interference. And he came out and stood up to the media and owned it afterwards. You know, thinks about all the different things he's thinking about. There are two linebackers hovering around the 50-yard line in the middle of the field. What is their purpose there? Dennis Allen, in terms of scheming, this is not a moment where you have one safety back at the end or even just, you know, three defensive backs in that area where a catch and a step out of bounds is like the miracle that you're hoping for, right?
No, it's The guy in the middle of the field was weird, and then the guys guarding the flat, like, 8 yards down the field.
P.J. Williams, I think was his name, is a defensive back who's, like, somewhere between 4 and 8 yards down the field. He's a DB
in
the
flat. I don't know what they were doing.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
So it's not just poor Marcus Williams, who had a great rookie year and had the interception earlier. It's Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator. My God. I mean, they had guys on the sidelines. And remember, they were showing that in previous plays. Like, look, they're trying to funnel them all inside and everything like that.
Right.
But I don't know why, with 10 seconds to go, you've got two linebackers just hanging around at the 50, let alone a defensive back being in the flat near the line of scrimmage.
I think it's because they messed up. I'm willing to open up and entertain the possibility that the Saints really wish they had that one back.
How is that town processing that failure? That's quite something.
Yeah, you know, they've got to feel good about their chances because Breeze is still great. Says he wants to be there. Is going to re-sign. They just had the best draft class of any team in the NFL.
Sure,
You don't have that many more chances.
Man,
with Breeze,
you had a chance to get through when 1-2 is Case Keenum and Nick Foles.
I know.
And you had this tremendous year, and you mounted the comeback and everything,
and you were healthy. And your star players were healthy.
Your star players are healthy. Your defense, for the most part, is healthy.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, no, their top five, six guys are healthy, and Breeze is good, and you never know when he's going to fall off. Brady is giving you hope, right? And Breeze didn't really show any signs of falling off this year. So in that sense, you feel like your window is still open a little bit. But, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable for them. That's one of those games that you don't get over easily. I was enjoying focusing more on the Vikings side of it just because that fan base feels like they're snake bit.
Right, and they have their moment. They have their moment that they can have forever.
I'm rooting for a Vikings-Patriots Super Bowl.
That would be very fun in the Vikings stadium.
Right.
And that defense, seeing that Vikings defense against Brady.
I really want no part of Blake Bortles in the Super Bowl. I just don't think that that would be an aesthetically pleasing game against that defense, but I am here for Jalen Ramsey at Super Bowl Media Day. Like, if we could figure out a way to get Jaguars players to speak for a Super Bowl that they don't play in.
The volume of Jaguars trash talk has been impressive.
They're becoming quickly one of my favorite teams. Like, they're, I love it. They talk trash. They back it up. They call people out. They call people out on their team, the other team. They talk trash on the field to the media. They're not scared of anybody. I find them to be an exceptionally likable team.
I dismissed their chances as we talked about the games last Friday as part of our magical 4-team parlay, which was blown up after game number one.
Yep, nice job by us. Thank you for paying for your half of it. Congratulations on the free roll,
yeah,
gentlemen, on the other side of the glass.
Hope you guys enjoyed the 3-hour and 15-minute free roll.
You really enjoyed that action, I'm sure.
We took the four experienced quarterbacks with a combined 75 postseason starts against the other four who had a combined 3 postseason starts.
And
we
were Tom toast. Brady won.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. But, man, the power, we should never let ourselves forget the power of looking past somebody like the Steelers were. I thought that they were, even with the talk about it and some of the other stuff, and I thought that they were above that. I thought that Mike Tomlin would get them to a place where they didn't look past that.
But Mike Tomlin participated in it.
Yes, he sure did. Shame on him. Shame on him for allowing it to take place and participating in it.
He said, we're going to get to avenge the game against Jacksonville, and we'll get to avenge the game against New England.
And he's got his own players tweeting exactly that.
Yeah.
Like 12, 14 hours before the game, they're thinking about that. And all of a sudden, you're down 21-0, and you deserve every little bit of where they were.
Whoops.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jalen Ramsey, probably in the top 5 of my favorite players in the NFL already.
He's really, really good. He's really absurdly good. I mean, the volume of tremendous players on that defense is just off the charts. I mean, A.J. Bouye didn't allow a touchdown all year, right? Until the playoff game?
Correct. And then Antonio Brown got him.
On perfect coverage.
Perfect coverage. Perfect coverage.
Think about that.
Draped all over him.
Everybody's talking about Jalen Ramsey, and understandably so. And the free agent corner they signed on the other side didn't allow a touchdown all year into the playoffs.
They're the best secondary in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're trying to outshine Legion of Boom and all that. Calais Campbell, Telvin Smith, Darius.
That's the thing. Think about the linebackers. Paul Posluszny, especially when he was in Buffalo, was like racking up tackle numbers, and you talked about him as like, wow, that's a really solid middle linebacker that'll play for a long time and just, you know, be a poor man's Luke Kuechly, right? Paul Posluszny. He's kind of an afterthought in the linebacker core where you've got Miles Jack, who is a lottery level talent who they got in the second round because of injury concerns. And then, oh, by the way, Telvin Smith, who I think is what, a fourth round pick?
Who's been amazing.
Who has been amazing for a couple of years as a linebacker with safety speed.
Yeah.
So we think about the monster back thing that's happening around the NFL, and it's usually a safety that bulks up. In this case, it's a linebacker that's slimmed out in Telvin Smith.
And texters pointed out yesterday and again today, hey, guys, the Jaguars defense gave up 42 points. Get over yourselves. Steelers at home, Hall of Fame wide receiver, Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe Hall of Fame running back.
They all had great days.
All had amazing days, and they were making spectacular. There weren't a bunch of defensive breakdowns in that game. Like that, Antonio Brown was making 11 out of 10 on the difficulty scale style catches on fourth down.
Yeah, the fourth down, 43-yard touchdown. Martavis Bryant with a 4th-and-11 touchdown as the first half was winding down, or 4th-and-9, whatever it was.
Yeah, so it was – I didn't feel like they – acquitted themselves poorly as a great defense. I thought that that was a case of sometimes great offense just beats great defense, and that game was insane. And so it makes for them to be an insanely entertaining team for me, with the exception of their quarterback. And that's why I don't want them in the Super Bowl, because if they play the Vikings or the Eagles, both really good defenses, I think you're getting a 17-14 game.
That's what I thought going into Pittsburgh, though.
But Pittsburgh doesn't have a very good defense, especially without Shazier.
Establish run game, then run play action for Bortles. I mean, it's ridiculous. You don't know what Bortles is going to show up.
No.
You really don't.
Well, that's why you can't bet on him.
Week 13 to week 15, as we had talked about at the time, Bortles overall was a 128.6 quarterback rating, best in the NFL for those 3 weeks. The next 3 weeks, including the game against Buffalo, he was 30th in the NFL in quarterback rating. So three, then three, and then what you got this past weekend.
Yeah.
So good luck picking which Bortles you're going
to
get.
And I shouldn't say you can't bet on him. You can bet on anything. I don't have the fortitude to bet on Blake Bortles, but I clearly should because he keeps winning. And they're on a roll right now. Like, this is the version of the Jaguars that is exceptionally confident. And I don't think they're winning in Foxborough, but I know this. I know that they're going to hit Brady. And I know that they're going to be the more physical team. And they're the younger team. And they're the more athletic team.
If you if you don't go after Brady, you have no chance. If you don't sack Brady and pressure the hell out of him, you have no chance.
And Marone's a great coach. He is a legitimate, like, obviously Belichick is better, obviously, it goes without saying, but the gulf and the gap between that you saw, like, for instance, Mike Mularkey against Bill Belichick, is they're playing different games. Doug Marone is a really good coach who will have something ready for the Patriots in that game. So I do anticipate a pretty good game.
Wins in Foxborough in the playoffs. Mark Sanchez has one.
Yep.
Joe Flacco has two. They've been there so often. There are enough chances. There have been enough opportunities.
There have been a few losses.
That really bad to mediocre quarterbacks have gotten it done.
Yep. Alex Smith almost got one, but didn't. It's a tough spot to win. Their record is ridiculous. They deserve to be the big favorite that they are. But it's a more appealing game to me than the NFC game because of Philly Atlanta was pretty boring, and I'm not there for Nick Foles. I'll watch, obviously, and I want to be right on the Vikings, who I've liked since the middle of the season.
And you have the Vikings in our little
and I have the Vikings our little in our pool. Little thing.
I think I'm toast. In fact, I know I'm toast. I had the Saints, I had the Chiefs, and I had the Titans.
None of those teams are left.
That went well.
You're not good at drafting.
Thank you. Who's got the Pats? It's Jay, right?
Jay has the Pats.
Jay had pick number one and went Pats.
Yep.
Because he goes chalk.
I feel good about this one.
Yeah. He has Pats and Eagles left.
Don't feel good about that one.
Could be a Jay Super Bowl, though. I mean, you got the two home teams.
And Jay, by the way, people are chiming in on your daughter putting butter on her fried chicken.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't realize that when you go to get honey butter fried chicken, they actually bring you honey butter and encourage you to smear it on the chicken. I've heard great things. I've never had honey butter fried chicken. I thought it was just in the title and in the mix.
Tell me more about this chicken.
Well,
where is it located? How can we get it? Can we get it today?
We need a lunch soon for the anniversary show tomorrow.
Apparently, Addie's been there before, just unbeknownst to you.
This is new to you? You don't do this?
Kevin Zipak is raising his hand in acknowledgement of said honey butter.
That's all right. We can find out some other way.
I don't really like butter that much, but the specific butter they have.
You're done.
The butter that they bring out with the chicken at Honey Butter is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, because there's honey in it, I think, right? The thing. Thanks, Kev. That was
great. He likes soccer and doesn't like butter.
Dynamite drop.
Get him out of here.
Dynamite.
You blew it!
Get him out of here. The three technique at 10. I actually like soccer too. It's just an easy opportunity for a joke. I want to ask some questions to Jay Zawoski and get some stuff on the table here. What do we know? What is fair to say about the Corey Crawford situation? And we should come up with some sort of sounder that if I ask any question that he just doesn't want to answer because of his sources with the Hawks and all that, that he can abstain. And then you and I will just talk about it. So we're going to figure out what we can talk about with the Corey Crawford situation, head of the three technique next on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on the Score, brought to you by 23andMe. 23andMe.com, a genetic service that can tell you what your genes say about your health, trait, and ancestry. You can start to learn about your DNA story at 23andMe.com. Three technique at 10 o'clock. We will figure out why these NFL talent, first round talent, Clemson defensive players are going back to school, one of which I thought would have been in line for the Bears at number 8. How Pittsburgh is dealing with selling and their baseball window being closed and the Steelers losing to Blake Bortles.
Yeah, it's a rough week.
And then Trae Young and how he and if he compares to Steph Curry. So that's coming up at 10 o'clock in the three technique.
I watched a bunch of Steph Curry, watched that whole second half last night and have some thoughts on that and the general state of the NBA to discuss, as well as a delightful and silly West Coast basketball beef. But you teased Jay Zawoski and Corey Crawford information or lack thereof.
Correct. So, Jay, let's start with this question. What do we know about Corey Crawford? Like, what can we say is absolute fact about the Corey Crawford situation right now?
Corey Crawford has not played a game in goal for the Blackhawks since Christmas, and the Blackhawks have offered zero clarity on what the injury is or when he'll be back.
There's zero clarity. Upper zero. Body, lower body.
Nothing.
Nothing.
How about the timeline of injured reserve? Like when he was placed, when he can come back, etc.
He can come back whenever he wants. They just haven't, they have not even given him a timeline.
And was there a delay before they placed him on injured reserve? There was, right?
No, it was, well, remember he came back before Christmas, then right before that break ended, they placed him on IR.
Okay.
Have they been asked the direct question of, is it a hockey injury?
I don't want to answer that yes or no, but as far as I know, they have not been asked that, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Because they have not said explicitly that it is a hockey injury, right? That it was not suffered, that it was during the game or anything like that.
To my knowledge, they have not.
Okay.
Do you recall, have people gone through tapes and looked, and do you recall anything that happened on the ice that could have been the cause for where we are?
Well, when the break happened, he was healthy and he was playing. So the speculation was that maybe he rushed back from the injury he had previous, which was a groin injury. Remember, he went post to post and got up awkwardly.
Yep.
Came back quickly from that, so some people felt maybe they rushed him back. But if it's a pulled groin, he should have been playing by now. It's been almost a month.
Have you heard a single rumor from a single credible source?
No.
Okay.
That's a very good question, because Jay has acquired a few sources during the years. And we've certainly heard rumors. Stuff gets texted to us. Stuff gets tweeted at us. Some people say, trust me, I talked to Rocky Wirtz's dental hygienist and yada yada.
And I just have no interest in that stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you can...
Well, I have interest in that stuff if it's true, but, you know, every once in a while those things are true, but...
Well, yeah.
I don't have interest in terms of sharing it, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have interest in... That's why he's got the sources. And yes, of course, if it's true, it's no longer a rumor. And we can track down sources in all sorts of unconventional ways. Of course, like you can say, oh, fill in the blank guy is traveling to Dallas to meet up with a potential free agent. And you can get that tip because someone saw him in an airport.
Well, let me follow that up. So Jay has not heard a rumor from a credible source. Have you heard rumors from uncredible sources?
Dozens of rumors from incredible
sources. I guess it would be
certainly
incredible.
It's certainly not incredible.
No, it's not incredible. That would mean they're great.
I think that's the whole. No, I think it's interesting. Non-credible. Although incredible technically probably meant this at the beginning and then it turned into.
The definition of incredible is impossible to believe.
There you go.
So there you go. That's the right word.
Yeah. It's interesting. Semantics lesson here in the middle of Corey Crawford dissection.
The more you know.
How many varieties of said rumors from incredible sources have you heard?
At least 10.
Okay.
I like this. This is a fun way to play this game.
Well, it's the truth. Because I think we've gotten 3 in the last 10 minutes via text.
And
three
I'm sure there's
ones.
Several on hold right now. I heard my guy told me that he got in a fight with Batman and his legs broke. And that's from an unimpeachable source, my friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. If he got in a fight with Batman, I would share that. You know, it'd be one of those stories that I would recommend sharing.
No question.
You know?
No question. That would be, and I kind of like Crawford's chances. Just saying.
Ridiculous.
Do you agree?
You're a hockey idiot.
Do you agree that it's fair to wonder what's going on or if there is validity to these rumors because of his previous incident at a concert?
It is fair to wonder because they're being so secretive, and yes, because he has a history. And if I need to remind people of the history, 2014, he went to a Rise Against concert and missed a step.
At House of Blues.
Yes, missed a step and was then in a walking boot and missed several weeks of hockey.
On the way up. He missed a step on the way up, supposedly.
I don't recall that detail, so I'm not going to say that.
But either way, they had a press conference with him out front.
To shame him.
To shame him and to get out in front of the news as well. But they didn't have to tell you anything then.
No, and the speculation then, too, was that, this is in 2014, that there had been some stuff before that they were pissed about, and now that there was an injury, they finally just wanted to embarrass him. Like, if it was Jonathan Toews who had done this, who has no history of that sort of stuff, we've seen Corey Crawford drunk at several parades. It's not a secret that he drinks.
What's
right?
up, Chicago?
That was Patrick Kane, but that's fine.
I thought that was the one that Mullen Hanley played.
He was
effing
right, Chicago.
I thought, okay. My bad. I thought that was always Crawford.
Get your crap together, Spiegel. Come on.
But, like, to me, that's not fair. we've seen him drunk in public before, therefore he's injured now. He drinks, therefore this is alcohol related.
Well,
that's a huge leap. Because, like, what percentage of guys do you think were drunk at that parade?
All of them.
Right, exactly. So that's to,
and
to,
I've
to
been
me,
drunk
that's
in public
not fair.
Before too, yeah, and no. I don't have a drinking problem.
No.
Right.
It just seems like that is the easy conclusion that everyone wants to draw.
Oh, sure.
Drinking problem. Okay, fine. That, like, anytime someone's hurt for a long time and it's mysterious, that seems to be what it is, especially along with the Hawks.
Yeah, but the Hawks, like, I mean, you've got, because Kane had an issue that he dealt with in the offseason with help from the Blackhawks, right?
I don't even know that to be totally true. These are all things that, as far as I know, people have sort of drawn the conclusion.
I don't mean this past offseason.
I know.
It's like three offseasons ago.
Yes, and people have connected a lot of dots, I believe, on their own, on a lot of things. And I don't do that. Like, that's not what I'm going to... And I think that's what's happening here with Crawford, is people are connecting dots.
Okay, but I take what I just said. I've believed that as fact.
I also have believed it as fact, but I would never go on record and say it absolutely happened. Right? I don't have any tangible proof that that happened.
I do not have a receipt from said possible rehab clinic of that at the time.
Okay, and I don't know. I obviously don't know. But so to me, why I wanted to do it this way is I think it's interesting because he's a hugely significant player, obviously, right? You guys convinced me, Jay, when I was doing the 10 most important Chicago athletes list, to have him be my Hawks representative because they would not be able to win without Corey Crawford.
He was their MVP this year.
So
until Christmas.
It's as high profile of an injury as this team can have. Obviously, Kane is a bigger star, but for this team, he's more impactful.
He was part of the magical circumstances that led them to the record they had last year.
Right. So that's part one. So when a huge star on a huge team in town has an injury, people want information. Then when there's no information about what that injury is and he had been playing, there's a break, and then he comes back and he's no longer playing, that's going to lead to some speculation. And Jay, would you say it's fair to say that the Hawks are handling the news of this injury different than they handle the news of other injuries?
Yes, that's fair to say.
Right? Because we would at least know upper body, lower body.
Yeah, he'd say day-to-day, or he's still a couple weeks out, or he's getting close, something like that. Mm-hmm. When Quenville's been asked, he just says there's no update.
Right. So, to me, why the speculation around this is fair, without going further to speculate as to specifically what it is, but just that it is something unconventional, is they haven't told us anything. They normally do tell us something. He had been playing. He's a hugely significant player, and he had this non-traditional injury in his past. So I don't think that they could get mad about this type of speculation.
They can't. I agree. And because really the only thing we have to go on is a strained groin, right, or a pulled groin that he came back from, and perhaps it was too soon. And now we are outside the timeline of a pulled groin. If it's a torn groin – or, you know,
you would
it's something
that they
like
would
that,
say that, though, right?
That they would update that?
He re-aggravated his groin injury. Right? That's what they would say.
Sure. Or they would just say, you know, he re-aggravated the injury he had before Christmas. Even without acknowledging what the specific injury was. Because they hate to do that. Because they just know that someone's going to come in there and hack at his groin if he pulled his groin. I mean, they've always...
They're going to try to go post to post on him, and which is a good hockey play anyway.
Speaks, you can back this up. I've said this for years.
Yeah.
Q has always been forthright with timelines, right? He'll always tell you, you know, he's going to miss a couple games here, or it could be a long-term thing. He might not tell you what it is, but he always acknowledges the length of the injury, and he does it correctly.
That's true. I remember parsing his verbs very carefully and parsing his adjectives about injuries. And I remember we had ended up with an actual meaning of what each thing really signifies. But this, he's just given you very little. He says he hasn't heard anything. So he's kind of taking himself out of it on some level.
It's a bizarre story.
It is.
Well, the problem now is that now that we're talking about this and fans are talking about this and rumors are spreading like crazy, maybe now is the time to address it and come out and say something one way or the other. They've got to get in front of this because now this would happen with the infidelity rumors of a couple years ago, right, that everyone knew about in air quotes. Again, same situation. I never heard the same story twice. That's why I never talked about that certain story because I didn't believe it because of all the non-matching details I've heard. Uh-huh. It's the same thing with this.
I've since heard, by the way, that was crap. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you've heard that, but who knows?
There are a couple people that are always honest with me and never hide anything from me, a couple of which are in the organization. To a man or woman, they don't know what the deal is with Crawford, and they deny anything happened back then with the infidelity and the fight and all that stuff. So,
well, listen,
everything else has been 100% true.
And that's why I think you got to be responsible with this stuff, because if it is personal, there are, you know what I mean? You don't want to be the person that spreads something false, right? It's obviously within everyone's purview to talk about a hockey injury, but if there's something personal going on, it's not our purview to speculate about it. But we can just take what they've given us and say, this is non-traditional in terms of how they're handling it. So it makes you wonder, when is the most important player of the team coming back, if he's coming back, and what the timeline is? Those are reasonable questions for Hawks fans to be asking.
The head coach is interested in him coming back. He talks about him as perhaps the key player on the arguably our key player all year. His absence is a tremendous hole. Obviously, you're missing him. When asked initially, what have you heard? He says, it's been quiet. It's been quiet. The head coach has no update. He hasn't been told anything. Yeah, it's odd.
And then Taves, a texter points out, Taves' comments over the weekend did not help. Yeah, he said, we're always concerned about our teammates first and then our team second. Crow knows he's trying to get better. He's one of these guys that we know we can rely upon as a person, as a teammate. He'll do what he can to get himself better so he can get back to playing and get back and help our team. End quote. That's not a hockey injury.
No. That sounds like something personal.
Right?
So I don't
know.
And
I get it. There's privacy and all of that
absolutely
stuff involved in it.
Is. So, you know, that's why you're not going to throw out any of the crazy stuff that comes our way.
But that's a quote from the captain that lends itself to it being not hockey and not knowing about a timeline.
Well, it's amazing, too, that for a team that is so buttoned up and so on top of everything, that they would – the opportunity would exist for Taves to say that they would not prevent him from saying something like that to lead any information that way, because that's what he's doing.
Well, he's the captain. He's a made guy, you know? So I would be surprised if they didn't trust him to just say whatever he thinks is best. And in this case, he's belying the friendship before he talks about the teammate.
And now that that's out there, I mean, say that it's a personal matter. We'll update you when it's appropriate, but he's out indefinitely. Right,
that would be totally fair.
That'd be a huge piece of news that would at least be throwing your fan base a bone and put some of it. Wouldn't put all of the speculation to rest, but it would put some of it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that long term IR would free up some salary cap possibilities if you were looking to add things. And the longer it goes, you start to wonder if that's a sensible move. But again, they're the third team out of the playoffs in the Western Conference as it stands.
Why are first-round NFL draft prospects going back to school when they've already won a championship? How is Pittsburgh dealing with their baseball window being closed already? And is Trae Young the next Steph Curry? We'll go through it all with experts on the 3 technique next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.